We thank the Lord for gathering us together, for bringing us into His name out from our week. A Friday, easy to be tired, but we have eternal life. And it's by this life, the divine life, that we meet together. It's by this divine life that we fellowship together. It's by this divine life that we love one another. It's by this divine life that we have the church life. Whenever a conference like this is scheduled and I have some responsibility to minister, I always regard this as a serious and important matter. And the first thing we need to determine is, what is the Lord's burden? What is the Lord's intention for this gathering? We must honor God the Father as the unique source. He is the fountain. It would be an insult and an offense to Him for us just to improvise something, to pick something that we like to talk about. We are slaves of God. In the kingdom of God, we need to honor Him, and by His grace we do honor Him as the source. And we express this seeking and honor not only by, you could say, definite prayers, but also by the spirit and attitude of our being. We are the Lord's. We're not our own. When we touch the holy things, when we are about to present something of the holy word to God's holy people, we need to give the maximum opening to the Lord, that He would be free to come forth as the Spirit and to speak words to us and to feed us and to shepherd us, to enlighten us and care for us. If necessary, you know, like with Peter in John 21, deal with us just a little bit, whatever He wants to do. So it is with this kind of spirit that we always wait on the Lord and open to the Lord and do our best to follow the Lord as the Spirit, until something forms under the anointing, and then we can define the general subject, which is living in the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine life. And I'd like to take, whether it's sufficient time, I don't know, but at least considerable time, to try to make the subject clear. And one reason we need to do this is that we're touching something that is a mystery. The Lord said in Mark 4, verse 11, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Here He says the kingdom of God is a mystery, but has been given to you to know this mystery. Then He goes on to say, But to those outside, all things are in parables. In his teaching ministry, the Lord very often spoke in parables. And what I'll say now may be a little perplexing to you, but I assure you it's the truth. The Lord spoke parables both to reveal the truth and to conceal the truth. The same parable. For some, seeing, they see and they don't see anything. Hearing, they hear and do not hear. But others, they hear the same parable, the same words, but it's been given to them to know the mystery. So I'd like to claim this verse for our little conference. To you, it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, you don't need to be a genius. Probably if you are a genius, that will be a big handicap. And the Lord will have to humble you and deal with you so you don't trust your intelligence so much. So this is not something reserved for people with formal education, people with high culture. Otherwise, how would Peter have fit into this? Right? But my dear brothers and sisters, it has been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And some may say, well, what's the mystery? A kingdom? I know what a kingdom is. You have a king, and that implies some power and authority. Then you have territory that belongs to the king, and you have people as subjects. That's a kingdom. And of course, that's correct according to the natural concept, according to the human concept. You've got authority there, you've got a king there, you've got territory, you have people. So we can easily transfer this concept to God. God is the king. The universe is his territory, and all the beings in it, especially the humans, are his subjects. And the Lord is on the throne, and he rules. And you better watch out that you don't offend the king and his rule. This also has truth in it. The Lord is the ruler of heaven and earth. The whole universe is under his management. We are all his subjects, whether people believe in him or not. I was reflecting upon unbelievers, and I came to this conclusion. There are no dead atheists. Do you realize that? As soon as an atheist dies, he becomes a believer in God. A little too late to get eternal life and be saved. But Karl Marx right now, he's not an atheist. Neither is he a communist. Well, the Lord rules over all. But this is really not mysterious. If that's all a kingdom is, a king with authority, ruling over territory, ruling over people, why does the Lord speak of the mystery of the kingdom? It is because the kingdom that the Lord is bringing in now is something that is beyond the human concept. It is a realm that is God himself as life. It's invisible. It's not physical, but it's real. And if you're born again, you can see it. If you're not born again, you're clueless. So the fact that you have to be born again to see it indicates it's in another dimension, another realm, and you need another life to see that there is this kingdom. Remember in 2 Kings somewhere, one of the prophets, I don't know, maybe it was Elisha by then, he was with a young man, and there was an invading army attacking. And this young fellow was scared to death. Elisha said, "Those that are with us are greater in number than those that are with them." And he's wondering, "Elisha, what are you talking about?" So he prayed, "Lord, open his eyes." Then he saw all of these fiery beings, these angelic beings, the Lord's host. Well, that's something outward, kind of miraculous. There is a realm called the kingdom of God. It is here. It is now. It is an incredible realm. It's a marvelous realm. It's a delightful realm. It's the kingdom of the Son of God's love. It's the happiest place. It's a peaceful place. It's a place full of the flowing triune God. Here there is no sin. There's no world. There's no death. There's no darkness. There's no devil. There's no division. There's no envy. There's no rivalry. There is such a realm. But you go to ASU and talk to the professors about it, they have no idea. But to you has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Then if we are born of water, that's referring to baptism in which we bury our entire old life in person. And if we're born of the Spirit, we enter the kingdom of God as a spiritual reality, and we enter it for the purpose of living here. Now I want to bring out a couple points. This is still in the introductory word. What you are is determined very much by where you are. We admit that birth has a great deal to do with it. You're born with certain abilities. Let's say twins are born to someone in Phoenix, twin boys, identical twins. And one is raised in Phoenix, the other is raised in Tehran, Iran. They meet each other in 25 years. Will they be different? Oh, will they be different? They may have certain traits, genetic, that are the same. Similar abilities. Similar levels of intelligence. But where they lived made them a certain kind of being. One learned Farsi, probably was raised a Muslim. His whole mind, his view of the world, is shaped in a certain way. The other grew up in Phoenix. He heard about the Arizona Cardinals, who sometimes win a football game. They got someone from USC. Maybe he's going to pull off a miracle this year. And now I'm going to say something in the way of a human illustration. It's not political. Okay? There's no criticism involved. But humanly speaking, I can understand why someone would want to get into this country and live here. And if you're a woman expecting a child, you want to get in here and have your baby born here. Because realm, practically speaking, means everything. The realm we have our being in shapes our thinking, our values. It governs the use of our time, everything. A kingdom is a realm when we live in the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine life, which we'll try to define. We are shaped, formed into a certain kind of person. We live in a certain kind of way. We have certain values. We manage finances in a particular way. We establish relationships in a particular way. We have a view of the future that's distinct. All because we live in a realm, and the life of that realm is governing us, shaping us, and producing something very particular in our being. According to the Bible, we must properly emphasize, as the hymns we sang emphasize, Christ lives in me. He's being wrought in me. He's saturating me. He's permeating me. We cannot overemphasize this. But while we're emphasizing this, we need to emphasize something else. Not just who is in us, but where are we? The first question God asked fallen humankind was, where are you? Where are you? It matters very much in what realm we live our actual and practical daily human life. So the subject is not simply the kingdom of God. It's living. Okay? Not visiting. Not having a vacation in. Living in the kingdom of God. So let's face this. Let's consider this. What do we spend most of our lives doing if we're responsible persons and we're not affluent and we're not retired? We have to take care of our human responsibilities. Work, get ready for work, take care of our families, floss our teeth, pay our taxes. All these things, God has arranged that we live a human life all the time. Men should work. It's hard to respect a man who won't work. And we're dads, and some of us are grandpas. And we're human beings. We must live. We have no choice but to live a human life on this earth. We have to earn our living. We have to do all the things that everyone else does. But I'm talking about living in the kingdom of God. Well, how can we do that? How can we do that? Outwardly, physically, humanly, you are the age you are, whether you let me know it or not. You are the age you are. You're in a particular human context. Financially, with health, with family, with relationships. You have to live there. We're not monks. We're not going to establish a monastery in the desert. Go live there as monks. Produce Arizona wine to sell from our monastery. We're not going to do that. What God wants is that while we are living our outward physical daily human life like anybody else, we are simultaneously living in another realm at the same time. This is what's mysterious. And a person who lives like this is not strange, not weird, not even peculiar, not even odd, but mysterious. So I'll give you an illustration. I won't press it too much because I know it's painful for many of us. But where I live, in Southern California, every time I get into my car to drive, I pray, Lord, keep me from the evil one. Protect me. Save me from accidents, from harm, from incidents, from confrontations. Lord, protect me from my own reactions. So I need to drive just like anybody else. I don't have a sign in my car saying, God man on board. People who have religious bumper stickers shouldn't drive like the devil. If you got one of those, you better remember that it's on the back of your car. Okay, I don't live far from where I usually go for my office, about 10 minutes. But I do this every day. Where am I while I'm driving? Am I just like all the others in the traffic? One time they shut down the 105 freeway unannounced. They shut the whole thing down. Turned it into a parking lot. No one consulted me. No one warned me. I can't get out of there. I can't say I'm a God man. God men don't get stuck in parking lots on the freeway. No, I'm a human like everybody else. Where am I? Where am I? Didn't Paul speak of a version of this when he said, I wanted to be found in Christ? I want you to find me in a certain place. So when I speak of living in the kingdom of God, I don't mean some kind of strange withdrawal from human life to practice some religion. I mean simultaneously living in two realms at once. I repeat, I know I'm repeating. We have our human life. And no matter how deep we are in the Lord, we must go through all the stages of human life like all human beings. So men, brothers, whenever middle age begins, it will begin And you may find yourself at the most critical juncture that you've had since high school. Man, it's deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra would say. You're having a crisis. You realize, I had such dreams when I was a young man. Now they tell me I'm on the other side of the hill and I never saw the hill to begin with. And I have to face the fact it's past noon. I'm switching metaphors. The sand in the hourglass is more than half spent. And I haven't accomplished anything. Men and women can go kind of bonkers crazy with this. And you may think, God, men, they don't have to bother with this. Well, God men are God men. I don't know when middle age ends. If you know, please do me a favor and don't tell me. But my present philosophy is that it ends at 70. So I've got 2.5 years, if the Lord preserves me. Let's suppose the Lord, for His ministry, for His body, He preserves me longer, and I become an elderly person. Then I will have to face the things that elderly humans face. Because I'm a human. What God wants to see is that wherever we are in our human life, we're not just human in our human life. We live the divine life in the midst of our human life, whatever it is. Our brother Dave Higgins was diagnosed with a certain kind of cancer. The Lord measured out to him one more year. He lived that year overcomingly. He lived the divine life in that human situation, and then went to the Lord in victory. God men suffer. God men cry. God men die. We're human. And human life goes through stages. And human life is filled with situations. And one thing is certain. We're all going to live some version of this human life. What pleases the Lord is this. We would be born of God, to have the life of God, and see the kingdom of God as the realm where God's life is active. And inwardly, in the Spirit, we live here. We just live here. Simultaneously. I've got to drive. I know what's going to happen at the intersection of Sequoia and Brookhurst while I'm at the Red Arrow. I know car after car, morning after morning, is going to run a red light. It's blatant. You hardly dare go on a green light anymore where I live. You have to be that defensive. But I want to be there at that red arrow in the kingdom of God. Because life is an endless succession of red arrows. If you know what I mean. One little thing after another. They're inescapable. They're unavoidable. Every human being is in it. Now the price of gas is going up again. I don't know why. I'm not going to subscribe to the Lundberg letter. And I made a decision last year, I'm not going to be bothered by the price of gasoline. But I have to admit, I'm bothered by the price of gasoline. But I'm going to, and so I want to postpone filling my tank. But when I get back, I realize I can't postpone it anymore. So I'm going to have to pull in and fill up and pay today's price for unleaded regular, $269.9, like everybody else in Anaheim. Because I'm a man. But I want to learn to live in the kingdom of God when I'm doing that simple act. And we will, in the messages to follow, explore what happens, what you experience, what goes on when you live in the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine life. Now a little bit on life, then I'll read through the outline, and then there'll be time for you to respond. It is correct to say that the kingdom of God is the realm where God rules with his authority. That's correct. But the mysterious dimension of the kingdom is the kingdom of God as the invisible realm of life. So I'd like to introduce the thought now and develop the thought now of a kingdom as the realm of a certain life. And please don't be offended if I'm kind of simple. We speak of the plant kingdom. Well, what is the plant kingdom? Is there some powerful cactus that has subdued all other forms of plant life and has subjugated them and rules? It's ridiculous. The plant kingdom is the totality of the plant life. If there were no plants with life, there would be no plant kingdom. So even in human speech, we speak of the plant kingdom, then the animal kingdom. So perhaps one of the best zoos is the San Diego Zoo, the wildlife park. So let's say you go there, you go to the penguinarium, you go try to see the lions, and there are no animals to be found. There's territory. There's ice for penguins. Dens for lions. Water for otters. The animal kingdom is the totality of the animal life with all the stuff animals do. It's the life that makes the kingdom. So we may speak also of the human kingdom, right? And the same principle. It's the totality of human life. It's all these human beings with their activities. The kingdom of God is the totality of the divine life with all of its activities. The kingdom of God is the realm where God's life flows and operates unhindered. And a lot goes on here. I don't say there, I say here. This is what we mean by the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine life. If someone could fly to Pluto, which has been downgraded I'm told, and is no longer a planet. I don't know how the Plutonians feel about this, but there's astronomical revisionism. If you could go to Pluto, I'm reasonably certain there would be no life there of any kind. You would still be in the kingdom of God objectively. God rules over Pluto. God put it there for a reason. There would be no life there. So actually everyone in the universe, whether they know it or not, or like it or not, is in the kingdom of God in this outward sense. Whether they like the way God rules or not. But what we're talking about is a particular aspect of the kingdom of God that is a realm of God's life. It's called the kingdom of the Son of God's love because it's incredibly delightful. Words fail us to describe how enjoyable it is. There's love, there's life, there's life. There's peace. There's oneness. There's the presence of the Lord. It's marvelous. And this life is very active to carry out God's will. So it generates prayers. There's singing there. Read Revelation. Singing. Praising, rejoicing. It's a festive place. So this is what we mean by the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine life. And our conference is about living here. Living here. Well, I don't know what your concept is about living. I'm concerned that you may define it first as behaving. Here I am in this new environment. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to stand? You're supposed to sit? You're supposed to genuflect? You're supposed to salute? What are you supposed to do? That's mere behavior. That's not living. First, you have to be, you enter this kingdom by birth. We read the verses. You're born into it. I have a real little human kingdom. Not that many in it. One wife, two sons, one daughter, two grandsons, and one granddaughter. For purposes of illustration, we'll call it the Kangas Kingdom. But in my house, and sometimes on my bed, is a cat. A cat who adopted us in 1998 after all of our dogs died. Catino came, said, "Here are a couple suckers." And anyway, I'm told that cats are able to do this. So the cat is in the house and out of the house, and in the house and out of the house. But the cat cannot be in the kingdom of Kangas. He can be in the Kangas house objectively. But he wasn't born a Kangas. He's registered as Catino, not Catino Kangas. He can't be a Kangas. But last July, Alisa Hope Kangas was born, not to me, but to my son and his wife. And she's in the kingdom of Kangas. She's not conscious of it that much. Well, we need to be enlightened to see we have been born into a kingdom. You may say, I don't want to. It's too bad. I don't like it. Too bad. You were born into it. That's John 3. The eternal life you get by believing into the Son of God is not for you to go to heaven. And the kingdom of God is not heaven. It's the realm of this life into which you're born. So can we do a little check in general? I won't be the regeneration police. But have you not been born again? Born of God. And I'm happy, but I'm not making a political statement. Believe me, I am apolitical. But I'm glad that our president has been born of God. I'd rather have one who is than one who isn't. But the Lord knows what we need. It's marvelous. We have received the life of God. We have been born into a realm. Now here's our situation. In our meaning, all the Christians on the earth. It's twofold. Many have no idea where they are. Where they've been born. They simply don't know. And then the other problem is countless believers live a contradiction all day long. They live in a state of insurrection, of insubordination, if not rebellion. Not all the time, but throughout the day, because precious few of us live where we are. So, if we try to live just like everybody else merely, we contradict our regenerated being. And the life within us protests. The sense of life within us disturbs us. We don't have real peace. We just can't do what the unbelievers do. And it's not happy to be in a state of contradiction when it's on the level of your being. You're a kingdom person. You've been born into the kingdom of God. You have the life of God. You have the nature of God. The only way you're going to be happy is to live where you've been born. And you can do it. How do you do it? We can only give an essential answer now, an introductory answer. Then we'll go on for more things. Two things. You need to enjoy the divine life within you and live by that life, not by right and wrong. Here's an example. I'm driving west on Ball Road and someone cuts in front of me. I don't like that. And what I want to do as an act of protest is to say, you asked for it. Now I'm on your bumper. You asked for it. You put yourself there. But there are two persons who disagree with me. One is God. The other is my wife. And they both say the same thing. Give yourself room. Gently touch the brake. Give him or her room. But I don't like to do that because I consider that a sign of weakness and of defeat. Real men go to war over things like this. You want me to back off? You're asking me to back off? This threatens my manhood. Such is the fallen male psychology. But when I'm in the kingdom, when I'm driving, or when my wife is there helping me to be in the kingdom when I'm driving, I will touch the brake. How he or she wants to drive, that's up to them. I will drive by the sense of life. Okay, it's wrong. It's wrong to cut in. I'm right. You're wrong. If I stay here, I will be in death. I will be in darkness. I will be serpent food. And I will be miserable. But if I would do something so simple like, Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus. He cut in front of me. Lord Jesus. And then I'm touching the brake. And I'm in the kingdom of God right there. Okay, life is an unending series of people cutting in on you. I'd like to use another illustration. It's about what is supposedly called in supermarkets the express lane. Limit 15 items. And I've had a lot of experiences of not being in the kingdom of God while I'm in an express lane. One is I'm being very righteous. I have 15 items or less. And I count the basket or the cart of the persons in front of me. Because I'm righteous. And if they have 16, or if the checker doesn't wave them past, righteous man is not happy. So, I learned a little bit to let that go, live in the kingdom of God while I'm in the express lane. But here's what happened last time. I'm in line with my basket, and I've got 15 items, and there's a man behind me counting my stuff. And something in me wants to say, you got a problem? There's 15 items. These four little yogurts are one item. They are a pack. They're not separated. They're one item, man. Well, life is an endless series of situations like this. If I'm not in the Spirit when I'm driving those 10 minutes, if I'm not in the Spirit when someone's counting my items, here's my question. Then when will I be in the Spirit? When? A few hours a week in the meeting? That's good to strengthen you, but that's hardly living. That's not living, is it? Living means you have your daily walk, your daily life, inwardly in the realm where God lives, where the divine life is, and you walk in the Spirit, and you follow the sense of that life, and you are trained to obey the sense of that life. And the more you do, the happier you are. The more you do, the more you're shaped by the law of that life. The more you grow, the more you reign, the more you're saved. And who knows, the rapture may come when you're in the express lane. I'm not kidding. When the Lord gave illustrations of rapture, what did He say? Did He say, two were prey reading. One was taken, the other was other left. No, right? Two women were doing something boring and ordinary, grinding. One was taken, the other was left. Two men were in the field, signifying their work. One was taken, the other was left. You think the Lord was arbitrary? Do you think He said, I'll take this one, I'll take this one? He's not arbitrary. He looks into the being of those two women, the being of those two men. And He realized, He said, I told you. I'm coming in an hour when you don't think I'm coming. When you don't expect me to come. I'm not coming in a meeting. I'm coming on Thursday at 4:26 p.m. And I'll take the one who's watching. And I'll take the one who's ready. And I'll take the one who's already where I am. And that one, this will shock you perhaps, that one in the very real sense will experience no difference. Lord, I was with you there. Now I'm with you here. So don't you think it would be helpful to us if the Lord would shepherd us this weekend to encourage us to live here. To strengthen our faith that we can do it. And we do it in the midst of our human life, whatever that is. Okay, now we'll read through the outline. Then in about 20 minutes, it'll be your turn. Message 1, the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine life. The kingdom of God is God Himself. Just as the kingdom of the plants is the plants. The animal kingdom is the animals. The human kingdom is the humans. The kingdom of God is first God Himself. He is life. So God's kingdom, A says, has God as its content. It's the kingdom of God. It's called the kingdom of God for a reason. Let me repeat. The kingdom of the animals is the kingdom of the animals. It's these life forms that make the kingdom. The kingdom of God, in this sense of life, is first God Himself. Then the kingdom expands every time someone is born into it. You're born into it. And then some, they're called the overcomers, they live here. In the midst of their human life, they live here. They live in God. They live in the triune God. They're in the dentist chair. I have to go every 3 months. I don't believe any of that stuff that says, brush with this, gargle with this, you'll get no plaque. I've tried so much of it. It's always there. My hygienist says it's just a chemical thing. So I got to lie there for an hour But I believe I can lie there in God. She will clean the teeth of a God man. I mean it. And she will realize the difference between the patient who was in this chair from 1 to 2 and all the other patients who were in that chair today. Because someone is living in God. Okay, so God is the content, and God Himself is everything as the content of His kingdom. So, what is God? God is love. Ooh. So it's the kingdom of love. God is light. God is righteousness. God is holiness. God is glory. God is grace. God is mercy. Wow. You're just living here and you got it all. Just by being here. Whatever you need is instantly supplied to you because you're in God, who is the content of the kingdom of God. God's reign in us is a matter of the innate ability of the divine life. So God does not want to rule you with outward authority. That's a shame to us. Any believer who has to be under human government, he's defeated. In other words, you won't pay attention to God, you won't pay attention to your conscience. And so, yes, that particularly bright light in the mirror at 10:11 p.m. is a motorcycle. And the reason why that light is particularly bright, it's because there's a police officer on that motorcycle. And you're now under human government because you won't be under any other kind of government. And so you get to experience the Lord on a Saturday from 8 until 4:30. At a place called Traffic School. How do I know? You know how I know. And I'm not reckless. But I don't make left turns out of gas stations across double yellow lines either. But I was comforted when I went to traffic school. Do you want to know what comforted me? Was seeing in line one of the elders from the church in Fullerton. And we got to sit side by side as we're clearing our insurance records together and learning to live in the kingdom of God. You have to see, brothers and sisters, I'm so much the same as you. It'll shock you. I'm the same as you as a fallen being. I'm the same as you as a regenerated being. Okay? Maybe the only difference is that I'm older than most of you. But that's a temporary difference. So now, in driving, let everyone else cross the double yellow. I can't do it now. For two reasons. I fear God, and I fear the police. But the crucial thing is that the life rules. Gently. I talked to one of the dear brothers who was going into a family situation that's somewhat complicated, and he told me, I was so helped by it. He just told me. He said, I'm going to go there with the gentle breeze of love. I believe he will. He's been through a lot, this brother. He has a lot of constitution. He won't be there in right and wrong. There's the mother-in-law this, and then there's the son of that mother-in-law who wants to live his own life and follow the Lord, and the mother-in-law is living through the son, and then the son's wife is not happy with this aspect of the married life, and then dad is on the scene, and dads have feelings about all of this. But he's going to go there. He's going to be in the kingdom of God for those few days, and a gentle breeze of love will blow. I believe it. And life will rule. See, the life of God is the kingdom of God, and our entrance into the kingdom of God. We must see this basic principle. Are you seeing a little bit? That the life is the kingdom, and the life is the entrance into the kingdom. Then the next thing is, when we live by the life of the kingdom, we're living in the kingdom. So, it's really up to you. It's really up to us whether we'll be different from unbelievers or not. Not simply by we're relatively righteous and they're really not. That's too outward. The difference is when you meet us, you meet God in a human being. You do your job, we'll do our job. Probably better. Because the life within us will motivate us, as it motivated Daniel to excellence. But that king, when Daniel was put into the tomb, you know what he called him? Servant of the living God. He knew. He said, Daniel, the God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. But Daniel was not a full-time worker. He was a civil servant at a high level of responsibility. The king, his boss, said, I know. You serve God continually. That's living in the kingdom of God. You can do it. Do you want to do it? It begins with this longing to do it. D, the nature of the kingdom of God is divine because it is the kingdom of God. So the more you live here, the more divine you become. You become a gold man. You're overlaid with gold. You're divine, but you don't walk around strutting about saying, hey, divinity has come on the scene. You're not conscious of it, but others are conscious of it. Whoa, the gold. This person is only 15 years old. Dresses like 15-year-olds live within reason. But there's gold in him. That's right. You're in high school. You got to take PE like anybody else. But there's gold in you. You're not only in high school, you're in the kingdom of God. You're a divine 15-year-old. E, the Lord Jesus said the kingdom of God has drawn near. To proclaim that the kingdom of God has drawn near is to declare that God himself has drawn near and that we should get ready to receive God into us. Maybe one day, just in the course of our conversation with our friends and colleagues, we just may tell them, John, do you realize the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, there's a lot recently in the culture now of aggressive atheism. Even this fellow Bill Maher mocking. And I'm wondering how to respond to these people. Because religion has damaged many of them, threatening them with hell, with fire. I don't know what I would say, but what's in me to say is this. No, I'm not going to talk to you about hell. I'm not going to talk to you about the lake of fire. But I'm going to tell you something. One day, you will meet God. You will meet God. Whether you like it or not, I'm not threatening you with fire. Within my heart, I realize, if you do not meet God in Christ, you will meet God as consuming fire. This matter of the kingdom of God is God. And the impact that we have on the lives of those with whom we associate over time should be where we are, God is. We bring God into the scene without being strange persons, because we live in the kingdom of God, which is God. It's incredible. Powerful testimony. Now, the second section of the outline, the kingdom of God is the realm of the divine life for this life to move. Let the life move in you. Maybe you're afraid of what it'll do. It might move you to the full-time training. It might. It might move you to go to Europe. It might. Or it might move you to get up and go to work. Just live a normal life. You're not less spiritual than those who went to Europe or the full-time training. This life moves. It's active. It's vital. That there's no vitality, that means not much kingdom living there. And this life moves and governs so that life may accomplish its purpose. I've got to learn this by handling my computer, by handling email. I told the trainees today, I get all this email, a couple hundred emails a week at least. So now I learned, oh, you can right-click and you can check on there, you know, to that you're going to respond later. And then you have these different color flags, right? You know what I'm talking about? And so I say, hey, this is pretty neat. I've got red, I've got green, I've got blue, I've got purple, I've got orange. And so if you look in my inbox and you scroll down, you will see red flag, blue, purple, green, yellow, orange. And I have to tell you the truth, I have no idea what these colors stand for. It's just whatever mood I'm in, that's the color I click. But I'm pretty sure that if I live more in the kingdom of God, I will make out a simple system of priority, right? I mean, it's a little thing. Then I have to remember, don't just look at what's on the screen. There's an arrow at the bottom of the screen pointing to things you can't see. And the emails that you got 3 months ago, they're down there. And there are people wanting answers from you. Okay, to tell you the truth, I could spend 1/4 of my time just answering email. So this is some, you know, this is a small thing, but I have no choice. I've got to live in this realm. I now got a phone, a T-Mobile Dash. Why? Because, okay, I got a message. What is it? One, there it is. Okay, message one of the ministry meeting. Someone wants to tell me something. Okay, now I got this email. At 9:02, I got this email. What am I supposed to do with it? When can I answer it? What should I say? I can't go back to pre-email days. even someone technologically challenged like myself. I have to go ahead. I don't have an Amish mentality. But now I have to learn how to live in the kingdom of God whenever I'm online. Because I'll tell you, if I don't, I don't know where I'll end up. With the things that pop up on there. I'm glad our office has firewalls and anti-pop-ups. It's horrible. Then you try to get rid of them, they have eternal life. They come back. They assault you. There's a spiritual battle going on. That's all I wanted to do was do a Google search on this theologian, and then all this stuff is coming in. Well, I use this. I'm not speaking ethically. What I'm saying is, life needs to rule here. Maybe the rapture will come when I'm online. It could. Oh, Von Kangas, he gave this conference on living in the kingdom of God. Now he's in his office at 11:07 p.m. and he's not in the kingdom of God. And, Ron, I told you, at an hour when you didn't expect, I was coming. And, you shouldn't have right-clicked, and you shouldn't have right-clicked again. Now where are you? Three clicks of the mouse, where are you? You're not anywhere in the kingdom of God. But thankfully, it hasn't come yet, and I can hear this word, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Right? So I'd like to use as illustrations things that we can relate to and that we struggle with. Because more and more, this is where we have to live. Okay, now the points. A little quicker, so I don't overstep with time. The kingdom of God is an organism constituted with God's life as the realm of life for his ruling, in which he reigns by his life and expresses himself as the divine trinity in the divine life. It's somewhat complicated because it's mysterious. It's an organism here. When you're in the kingdom, you're in something corporate. You're in the body of Christ as a reality. You are organically connected to all those that are living in this kingdom at any given time. They're praying for you. I can tell they're praying. I dare not travel without it because the life is flowing. I'm living in the kingdom giving this message. Someone else right now is living in the kingdom praying. We're both responding to the same divine life. We're both living in the same realm. It's marvelous. If others were not praying, I don't know how to bear the weight of the burden. No way. So this life is so active. It's so vital. B, the kingdom of God is God in Christ as the totality of life with all its activities. The unique way to enter into the kingdom of God is to receive God as life and gain God himself. This is regeneration. The kingdom of God is a divine realm to be entered into, a realm which requires the divine life. Hence, for us to see or enter into the kingdom of God requires regeneration. That's why people need to be born again. It's so they can be in the kingdom of God. We honor our dear brother Billy Graham very much. He's nearing the end of his course. May he finish as an overcomer in Sardis. May his robes be white. May he walk with the Lord in white. We love our brother. We respect him. But I don't think he's clear on the reason we have to be born again. It's not to go to heaven. It's to enter the kingdom of God. One. The kingdom of God is a divine realm to be entered into, a realm which requires the divine life. Okay, I read this. 2. Because through regeneration we receive the divine life, the life of God, regeneration is the unique entrance into the kingdom. You can't get in any other way. You're born in. 3, we have been born into the kingdom of God, and now the divine life in our spirit knows the kingdom of God. Your inner being knows. Okay, D. And D is the most profound point in thought. I'll just read it now. Maybe I'll explain a little more in the morning, but I don't want to overload this message. I'll just mainly read it. Perhaps we'll revisit it at the start of tomorrow morning's message. The kingdom of God as the realm of the divine life is the realm of the divine species in which are all the divine things. Everyone born into the Kangas kingdom is a little Kangas. You're not the person of the parents, but you have the life and nature of the parents. You're the same life species. Principle is the same with the kingdom of God. God became man to enter into the human species, and man becomes God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead, to enter into the divine species. The more you live in the kingdom of God, the more you become God in life and nature, not in the Godhead, not as an object of worship. 2, to enter into the divine realm, the realm of the divine species, we need to be born of God to have the divine life and nature. We were regenerated of God to be the species of God and enter into the kingdom of God. Our second birth caused us to enter into the kingdom of God, to become the species of God. Now we are God-men. We're in the God-men kingdom, in the divine species. That is, in the kingdom of God. So this is our opening word to try to help us to know the mystery of the kingdom of God in the way of life, that we may live here. Let's take a minute, and if you are visiting and you've never been in a meeting like this, especially in a meeting where someone speaks so long, well, welcome to a conference in the Lord's recovery. But very often after the message, we're going to do what we do now for a minute, and that is to pray with the person nearby in response to the message. If you feel you can do this, then please pray. If not, then just wait it out for a minute, and then the saints will prophesy. But most of us, I feel, we want to pray. So let's pray for a minute with someone sitting nearby.